What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 212, a special edition.
A special one.
FRL. I'm Christian Piles, joined as always by my mainest man, Willie Saylor. And today, special Thursday edition, we've got none other than the number five recruit for the class of 2019, New Jersey State champion, Nick Ramo on the line. Nick, what's going on, my man?
How are you?
Doing good, man. Really appreciate you coming on. Excited to hear your announcement as you're a super stud. We've been watching you the last couple of years. I remember first watching you at Fargo when you doubled up a couple of years back, and you've just taken on since.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So starting off, just first, let's get caught up. Nick, what have you been up to this summer?
I've just been training some freestyle, you know, just working out at Apex. Haven't been going far.
Nice. Do you have, you know, I mentioned Fargo early. Do you have any plans this summer for competing there or elsewhere?
I don't think I'm going to compete this year. I might take the year off just to heal a couple things and get back to 100% fully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. When are you eyeing a return to the mat competition-wise?
I'm going to train all summer, train some freestyle stuff. I don't know how many tournaments I'm going to be involved in. But then, you know, you have your preseason tournaments like Super 32 and those events that I'm definitely going to be a part of.
Very nice. So you're a class of 2019 recruit, but you're looking to make your decision today. What were you looking for in a program? What were the things that a school and a coaching staff, et cetera, needed to have for you to be interested in them?
The biggest thing for me is I'm really big on freestyle wrestling, and I believe that you could incorporate your freestyle wrestling into a successful collegiate like style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So the international style.
So I think freestyle has a major role of how you're going to wrestle in college and how you're going to develop.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much arguing that. When you look at the guys that are having the freestyle international success, they're doing great in college. Well, Snyder.
Exactly. They're all NCAA champs and whatnot.
Yeah, completely true. What weight do you plan on wrestling at the collegiate level, do you think?
It's not fully decided, but I see myself at 125 or 133, depending if I get much bigger.
Right.
I'm a short kid. Parents are short, so I don't know how much bigger I'm actually going to get.
Gotcha. Well, Nick, the reason everyone's tuning in, everyone wants to know, where are you going to be wrestling in college?
I'm going to be verbally committing to Arizona State University.
All right. Congratulations. Going to be a Sun Devil, Nick Ramo. Why Arizona State?
They really just had everything I was looking for. I mean, their coaching staff, one of the best coaching staffs I've ever seen. They're all good guys. Like, I got the chance to talk to Zeke Dillons, Chris Pendleton, Coach Pritz, and there's even guys down there like Jordan Oliver, and I actually had the chance to talk to him when I was down there for a little bit.
Yeah. Now, you're an East Coast guy. A lot of guys you don't see go West Coast from East to West. Why? Is that something that you even considered? Hey, I'm going to be a long ways from home, or is that something that's maybe actually enticing?
I mean, it has, but I don't think that's really, like, a main thing. I can't, like, I don't want to say ruin my future, but, like, hold it off because I don't want to be away from home. You know what I mean? If the best opportunities for me are away from home, then I'm going to have to go away from home.
What other schools were you considering, Nick?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It was really only between Arizona State and Rutgers. It wasn't really like – I didn't have much interest in any other schools.
It's really sort of an interesting thing in that Julian Klebov has also committed there. Is there a friendship there between you and him? You guys work out together or just pal around? Or what was the connection there?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to be close to the same weight, but it's always good to work out and wrestle with those guys that you know are right up there with you. Like, because Ja'Cory Teamer also committed there too, so I think we're going to have a good young class to build that team.
All right, Nick. Congratulations. We'd like to talk to Damian, your club coach, about about his role and his involvement in history with you. We congratulate a good group of young prospects going to Arizona State, and they add another in Nick Ramo.
Thank you.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thanks. Here's Damon. Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, Coach?
Good to have you on, Damian. Damian Logan, the head coach, head clinician at Apex, who's churned out some excellent talent over the years, one of the best clubs in New Jersey and maybe the country, a three-time state champion, sort of a legend in Jersey. But, Damian, what has your association and your history and experience been like with Nick?
Well, it's been pretty positive. You know, Nick's made some gains. We connected around the sixth, seventh grade when he started to entangle himself into freestyle. He was working out here with a Russian. We have Alex Karnitsky from Belarus, who, you know, felt that, you know, Nick was going to be someone who would make a big impact in freestyle wrestling. And then to train him and guide him in the right direction.
What do you think made him special so early? I mean, he hadn't even wrestled a high school match yet, and he goes out and doubles up in Fargo. Did you kind of see that coming?
Truthfully, not really. I mean, I knew that his freestyle wrestling was very high end. He's very relaxed on his feet, and he had that feel of the European style. In reference to Greco, you know, was in a lot, Joe Warren, and he would work with Nicky and Greco, and I think he was one of the guys that was like, Nick, you know, with a couple things you know, you should definitely try to push Greco. You know, this is something that you can be very successful at, too. And then at some point, Nick made that decision. And then, I mean, that Greco tournament was his first Greco tournament when he won Fargo.
Wow.
That first year.
yeah, I mean, he looked sort of natural at it. He looked like a guy that had been doing Greco for years. I remember watching that and just being like, this guy got Greco skills. I did not know that it was his first tournament.
Agree.
What did you have a role in his recruitment? Or did you kind of say, Nick, it's in your hands. I'll just give you some pointers and my
in reference to his college decision?
Yeah.
Well, all I can do really is guide kids in different directions. And him and his family made a decision that of the directions that this was something that they were interested in based on the resources that were there. I do have some great things to say about Zeke Jones and his coaching staff. I think they are very good at what they do, from their support systems to the Sunkist Club to, you know, the recruits he's getting in to the type of coach that he is. I've coached with him at the University of Pennsylvania for a couple years, and you know, I see where he's coming from and what he's developing.
It's interesting you say
Nick
that.
I think Nick is a unique kid.
Because, you know, you had a relationship with him previously, and just like Claybo, who his father, Whitey, wrestled for Zeke at West Virginia. So people that have been around Zeke are making decisions or, you know, talking highly about Zeke. Is it difficult, kind of, you've been mentoring Nick and you've been coaching him up, and now you know, he's not going to Rutgers. He's not going to Lehigh. He's going all the way on the other side of the country. Is it difficult to kind of let go?
You know, this is his journey. You know, all I can do is guide kids in the right direction. He's one of 15 kids who have committed so far this year from the gym.
Wow.
I think that, you know, the culture in reference to freestyle and the correlation it has to collegiate wrestling over at Arizona State is something that is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think Nicky's a unique wrestler. There's only so much you can do. I mean, I wish him the best. I'm always going to be someone who's in his corner and someone who supports him. And I think that, you know, again, the support system that's there is pretty high end.
Sure.
I'm not saying or taking anything away from other universities in the country. It just so happens that, you know, Zeke tries to go outside the box with his training. I mean, he just had his team in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's one of the most renowned clinicians and coaches in the world. And I give him a lot of props and credit for that. And it seems like it's something that Nick seems very comfortable with.
Yeah, it seems like a good fit. And you'll have a couple more years before with Nicky before he goes off to Tempe. All right, thanks, Damian, and thanks, Nick. We're very appreciative to have you on, and good stuff from both of you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good day, guys. See ya.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. See you later.
All right, there you have it. Nick Ramo, Arizona State, kind of out of left field. You know, he teased it a little bit back and got people wondering, wow, is he going to go there posing for pictures with Klebold? And it's like, well, you know.
Buddy's having fun.
Guys get excited.
I took it initially as Klebold just really wants his buddy to go there. Right? I didn't know that there was really legs to it. I mean, or how to what extent. And, you know, Nick being just a junior coming up, you thought maybe there was a little time. But it's Arizona State, and they got a good group coming. Teamer and Klebold, they have, you know, their anchors there with that great class from a couple years ago with the Valencias and Shields and Maruca. So got some pieces in place.
Yeah, absolutely. So good get for Arizona State, getting a Jersey prospect, continuing to go out east and get some elite talent.
Junior big board coming up. Me and Nomad been working at it for a little bit here, and it looks like Julian will be 4 and Ramo 5. So, you're looking at two top 5-ish type guys. I don't know if that's set in stone, but it looks like that they'll be in that range. Also with the pickup of newly minted World Teamer. So,
World Teamer.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Come on, Willie.
Ja'Cory World Teamer.
I like it.
So good stuff there. It's kind of that recruiting kind of atmosphere right now with July 1st, and you know, a lot Iowa making noise with Lugo the transfer, and then flipping Cassiope from Northwestern.
Yeah, unlucky for Northwestern.
It's funny, you know? Because Northwestern has signed or not signed. Northwestern has gotten verbals, and then they got some decommits, and then they get some more verbals, and it's like I was like, hey, good for Northwestern. You know, guys decommitted, and then they got more commits. I'm like, hey, Northwestern's grinding because they're not only getting verbals; they have to go back and re-get some other guys that, you know, Michael Beard falls away, and they pick up a Jack Jessen or something like that. And so, Northwestern's doing good things too. But to get Cassiope now, the thing for Cassiope is like. Iowa got a good one in Costello. So there's competition in the room. You know, they have Stoll. Telford's there working out, and they, you know, they'll have Cassiope and Costello. So it looks like Iowa's future at heavyweight is kind of set.
Yeah, and, you know, people wonder, where's Mason Paris going to go?
Yeah.
Who's he going to go? And, you know, I think there was interest there with Iowa and Mason Paris, and but I think when you can get someone like Cassiope, a bird in the hand, in the bush type of situation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Cassiope has some real skills. I mean, he's a guy with Fargo runner-up last year. He's done excellent ever since. So Fargo runner-up, done excellent ever since. And then, you know, if you're Morningstar and Brands, you know, you're asking yourself, well, is there a chance with Paris? You don't even know if Paris is going to wrestle.
Sport.
I mean, he might play football, right? So you get Cassiope, heck yeah. I mean, he's like the third on the big board behind Paris at heavyweight, behind Paris and Gable. So
Paris and Neville's, right?
Or no, Neville's and
Paris,
yeah. So you know, you take that when you can get it,
right? Yeah, exactly. You don't Yeah. No-brainer going after Cassio, especially when you consider, you know, where they are depth-wise at heavyweight. When Stoll goes down, they're probably trying to avoid that situation now. They'll have someone like Cassiope and Costello on board, so won't run into that again. So a nice weekend for Iowa, getting Lugo and Cassiope. Was that the same day? Or are they a day apart?
I think it was a day. No, I don't know.
Same day.
Same day.
Same day, says Kyle.
The question, Lugo, you know, some people are talking about Lugo. What does it mean for potential 149-pound recruits for Iowa, right? So they get Lugo. Does that change anything for a Sammy Sasso or another 49 out there? Maybe, you know, a 49-57, I guess. Josiah Ryder might be in the mix. He decommitted from Nebraska. Who knows?
You think Josiah Ryder's in the mix for Iowa?
I'm 100% sure that they'll be considering one another.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know what it means for Sasso. I just feel if Sasso wants to go there, they'll make it work lineup wise with Lugo somehow, some way. Whether someone
cuts down,
goes up. I don't think anyone's going to be on the bench there.
It seems Sammy is kind of one of the most quiet on the recruiting front, I feel like, but I also feel like it's Iowa and Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I think Virginia Tech's in the mix too, going after him pretty hard. NC State, I think, is interested. I mean, everyone's interested, right? There's not many teams that aren't trying to acquire Sammy Sasso, but I think Iowa, Ohio State are probably the front runners at this point.
Okay. What'd you do on 4th of July?
4th of July?
I wore a Budweiser America shirt and grilled out hot dogs like a...
I know you said you like did rankings all day, so which was it?
I did do rankings all day. It is a bear. It is a bear. You know, typically I do rankings... typically I do rankings right after, like, say, Flow Nationals is done. Final rankings, right? And then I come out with them a couple weeks later with a fresh batch, all the seniors removed. But I didn't do that this year, just super busy, really. And now to go back, I dug myself a hole because you have to go through NHSCA dual results. You have to go through Disney results. You have to go through junior and cadet dual results and all the little smaller tournaments that go along with it. And so it's research intensive. Me and Nomad was looking at him yesterday, but I am only through. I started on 4th of July. I'm only I started on July 3rd actually, and worked all day on July 4th. Peppered in some stuff though. I watched a little Independence Day, the hot dog eating contest. Did you watch it?
Oh yeah. I watched it.
I want to get that. You were disgusted?
Yeah. It's gross, but I respect it a lot.
It's gross, but you respect it. I want to get that announcer. He is the GOAT. That announcer is a GOAT. I want to get him at Who's Number One. He says some audacious things.
Like it's what?
Right up my alley. I don't know. His introductions are all time. And I don't know. I love it. So I watched that, watched Independence Day. I'm only up to 138-ish. And, you know, it was really interesting. Every year you kind of, when the rankings are done at the end of the year and you remove all the seniors, I'm like, I look at the, you look at what's gone and then you look at what your options are and it's like, man, the country stinks. But it's not really that they stink. It's not really like, oh, this class is down. It's just, they're just new faces. They're just new emerging talents. And nobody, you're going to see high school fans out there and college fans that are looking for talent, when the new rankings go up, you're going to see there's a lot of holes to pick and everything because nobody's really clean. Everybody has a loss here and there, and you have to do the best at judging, you know, where to put kids. But, yeah, it's a work in progress.
So, 4th of July, hot dog eating contest. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Is mass consumptions of around 70 hot dogs. Is it a sport?
Is it a sport?
I have some strong takes about hot dog eating.
Look, I say I'm on record as saying video games is not a sport, and I stick to that. Video games are not a sport. You can call it a game, I guess. A game. And there's also knock hockey is a game, right?
I don't know what knock hockey is.
You know, hockey. You played it at camp, I promise you.
Oh, with a little, it's just a little board?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played that.
There's lots of different games, right? I play Sudoku, right? That's a game. That's not a sport.
At hand is hot dogging.
Right, so I tweeted, is it a contest or a sport? And people said, there was the response, were like, well, there is a level of physicality. You do move. You at least move. At video games, you're like this. Mm-hmm. Right. At least in eating, there's a physical component, and
it's an entirely physical component.
And then other people said, people go, well, a lot of the best competitive eaters, they train hard. They they run marathons and stuff.
Yes.
And
Kobayashi, I watched a documentary thing about him. That dude worked out hard. Now he's since passed his prime, but.
So, but let me, does that count though?
Well,
let me
ask just you, because you work hard doesn't
just
make
because,
it a
sport. Just because, you could be a lawyer and really work out. Congrats. That doesn't mean lawyering is a sport.
Right, of course.
But I don't know. Do you consider that, when you consider wrestling, how tough of a sport is wrestling? Well, you have to lift weights. You have to do aerobic activity. You have to run a lot. Does that go into how tough wrestling is, or do you just take wrestling in and of itself and say 6 minutes on a mat and you're going as hard as possible, and that in and of itself is what makes a sport tough? Do you take the peripheral training?
You are pushing your physical boundaries. It's not the peripheral training that makes it a sport. It is the act itself.
The act itself, the endurance it takes. Putting hot dogs down.
Joey Chestnut doesn't wake up and eat 72 hot dogs. He had to get there. He probably started with 20. Okay.
How many could you eat?
In 12 minutes?
I think it's 10.
It's 10 minutes now. It's 10 minutes. It used to be 12. I'm old school hot dog eater. I would say in 10 minutes, I could eat seven.
Seven?
Maybe more than
that.
Did
you see?
What do you think?
What do I think you can eat?
Well, but and you.
I can't eat a lot. Despite my girth. I don't eat a lot of volume.
You order a lot, though.
I order a lot.
He's a really good orderer.
Did you see, so one of my favorite bars in Austin, they have a pickled egg eating contest.
Uh-huh.
And a couple weeks ago, did you see the Facebook or the Twitter? Nomad tried to eat. Nomad ate five in how long, Nomad? 5 and 5 minutes?
Yeah. Actually, it was 4 minutes.
It was less than five,
Because we started the video early.
How many pickled eggs could you eat?
None. I wouldn't eat. That's disgusting.
They're actually habanero pickled eggs, but they're not hot whatsoever. Kyle, how many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes?
10.
10?
One a minute. They do go down pretty quick.
I could not eat 10 hot dogs.
You got to get the buns down, though. That's what.
Are you dunking it in water?
That's another thing, too.
Yeah, if the buns are fast, then probably dunk in some water.
If the buns are fast?
What does that mean?
It means they're just going down fast.
Yeah. Sometimes the buns are fast.
The buns are fast.
I'm talking the lingo here, guys.
Is that the lingo?
Is there faster buns than others?
Yeah.
No. How do you know this?
That's what they say.
Hey, we're fast buns.
Joey Chestnut, he's like, oh, man, they were fast today. He set the world record on the 4th of July.
He thought
the
buns were fast.
Buns were fast that day.
Yeah.
You
guys know Kobayashi went off the deep end?
He's crazy.
Yeah. He was And he, denounced the Nathan's hot dog eating contest and, held his own.
Shots
fired. A couple years. He just had his own, a camera set up right in front of him.
Did he win his own contest?
He did.
Okay, that's good.
The Kobayashi Invitational. Okay, let's
Joey Chestnut's the GOAT.
Nomad, hold on. Nomad said something absolutely audacious yesterday. At least once a day.
He'll say something.
And Christian breaks. Mentally. Christian's like... So yesterday, Nomad had...
Turning down the dimmer.
Why are you messing with the lights?
Well.
Yesterday, Nomad had a thing of pineapple, and I like pineapple, right? So I opened it up, and I go, I look at it, it's like funky, and I'm like, how old is this pineapple? And he's like, I bought it yesterday. And I said, well, it's frozen. And he goes, yeah. I said, so you bought pineapple yesterday, put it in the freezer so that you could eat it today? He said, I don't trust refrigerators in Texas.
I mean, where do you start?
What's so freaking different? Of us just look at each other, and at most times it would shock people, but we're used to nomadism.
No, it still shocks me every time. That's what that's what hurts the most, is that I can't prepare myself. I you can go into it saying nomad will say something stupid today that it's going to hurt my brain, but you can't. You don't know what it's going to be. Like you, it's like you're bracing for a punch, but you don't know where it's actually coming from. It's like I'm tensing up my stomach, but he hits my face kind of situation.
So I said, what do you mean you don't trust refrigerators in Texas? And he said, it's really hot down here. And I said,
do you keep your refrigerator outdoors?
I said,
no, but milk goes faster here than it did back home.
That's not accurate.
It's not true.
It totally is.
It's not
100%
true.
Does.
Maybe you just need a new fridge.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if Vinny has a crappy
fridge.
Kyle,
it's your old fridge.
Yeah, and I had never had a problem with it.
No, and neither does Nomad.
2 years
that's
living
not true.
There.
You have no problem with your fridge.
You cannot keep milk in there. It goes way too
What kind of milk do you drink?
2% regular?
You didn't have the confidence that your fridge would keep pineapple for one day, for like 12 hours. You have problems. Let's get back to wrestling.
Lighting looks great. Great job by Kai on the lighting. Look at that.
There's not even lights there. Back there. That's Nomad emanating.
Oh, shoot. Oh yeah, we just had Nomad.
Glow.
Nomad's face. Okay, enough of brain breaking. We're talking about this this Kale sitch?
I don't know what's going on with Kale. I mean, I don't think there's anything to it, right? I mean, Kale doesn't have a contract. It's forthcoming. Like, let's not...
Yeah.
It's interesting in that the most successful coach of the last 7 years doesn't have a contract right now. You have to talk about it. You have to mention it. Oh, by the way, Kale Sanderson doesn't have a contract. The team that won 6 of the last 7 doesn't have a contract. But, come on. It's going to get done.
Yeah, it'll get done. It sounds like there's just, July 1st was the day, and they wanted to focus on recruiting, so they got a little extension type of thing. And I would assume by mid-July, this will be done with. No one's considering anything other than Kale staying. It's just a matter of working out the details. But it's still noteworthy. It's, maybe it's not unprecedented, but it feels like we haven't been in this situation before.
Well, I think that, I mean, Kale deserves, right? In light of the money that Dresser got, in light of the money that some people, I mean, Lou Rizzelli got a good contract, right? Combine that with the fact that Kale's the most successful coach in the last couple of years, and that Kale has made comments in that one article, it seemed like he was concerned more or as much about the people around him as he was himself. So he's probably just making sure everything's in place before he puts his pen to paper. He deserves to be paid probably the best in the country.
Yeah. Let's not say what he should be paid. Let's go around. What do you think base salary, what's Kale going to get? They say he's at 175 right now.
I don't think that's
the best deal in like the history of sports.
I don't think that's they say. Is that public record?
No, I think it's public record.
But there's a trickiness to that in that from the university, it's $175,000 and no incentives. But they say, I don't know if it's true, but they say he gets incentives from privately or booster club. I don't know what it is, but they say he gets incentives other ways. But $175,000, no incentives, is absurd, really. The AD of Ohio State, he got like a $50,000 bonus or a $25,000 bonus for Logan Stieber.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, the AD, who has nothing to do with it. I don't even know if he ever stepped in a room at Ohio State. Kale Sanderson, Kael Sanderson coaches the team to 6 titles in 7 years and doesn't get a bonus.
What? No. He's got a bonus.
I mean, on record.
On the record, right? But he gets – he's mad incentives from
– Yeah. All right. Go around the room. Kyle, how much should Kael Sanderson be paid?
Base, $350,000.
Nomad, you're going to concur?
Yeah, that was the number I came up with yesterday.
You came
oh,
up
you,
with that?
Oh, did you put it in your Nomad you algorithm? In,
when Spey wrote his article, he asked everybody what they thought, what the number should be. I said that's exactly what I told him yesterday. It's $350,000.
What's your number?
I said it should be like $500,000, but I'll say like $420,000. I'm sorry. $420,000. Sorry for all the marijuana smokers. All right, $410,000.
I think that he should be the highest paid coach in the country, and I don't know why. I don't know anybody that would object to that. You know, they fill the arena, and they win national titles. That being said, I mean, I could go for some situation where it wasn't incredibly more than a Kevin Dresser or a Tom Brands or a Tom Ryan or a Lou Roselli or a John Smith, and it was incentive based, because if you're gonna get money for a podium finish, then you got those escalators, and so say $350,000 plus $50,000 for third, $100,000 for second, $150,000 for national title or whatever it might be, and then you build that, or you could just say flat out $500,000. $500,000 a year.
Yeah, I like the idea. I think.
Would you like the flat or you like the incentives?
There should be incentives. He should get a ton and plus incentives.
Yeah, I agree.
You pay
base
him what
$350,000, then win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe more than $350,000, but
like $500,000
plus incentives. I mean, I think he's proven he's
worth
he
it.
He and the staff, and that's the other thing. And Willie, you mentioned this, and we talked about this with the Dresser situation. What it means for assistants to get paid this much. Now, for like Ohio State and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's assistant coaches, Dresser and company, Zadik, St. John, Metcalf getting paid, it's good for them. But what it does, it makes it really competitive. It makes it hard for lesser programs, the smaller programs, to compete, because I'm a assistant, I'm making $200,000 a year. Okay, well the head coach here makes $150,000.
Absolutely. We were talking about this yesterday, and if you're a smaller program or a program that's trying to emerge or trying to improve, how do you pull a top assistant that's already getting money? And I don't know. All my time in the sport, 20 years around the sport or more, 10 years of covering it, we never really talked about salaries much. I think in the last year, we've talked more about salaries and at least have heard figures. And even this summer, the numbers of assistants, the figures that they're getting is awesome. There's a lot of guys north of $100,000 when, 10 or 15 years ago, that was head coach money, and now you have multiple assistants making that on a single team. So if you're a smaller school and you're looking to grab a top guy assistant, well, they're making crazy money. What's the lure? I think the only lure might be, we can come close to the money. The only lure is that you want a challenge of starting your own program
or right.
Making your own name, not making your own name, but proving to yourself, hey, I can run a program.
Right. And then ultimately you can maybe get a big-time program job if you do well there. But it's tough. I mean, Casey Cunningham could be the head coach at a lot of places right now, some good places. And, he's not, because he's got such a great gig at Penn State. And he hasn't even gotten paid yet like he's about to be. There's a lot of assistants in a similar situation that are choosing to stay – instead of going to be head coaches. So the money, you know, it's a two-edged sword, I'm afraid, right?
Two-edge or a double-edge, you think?
Doesn't double and two kind of thing?
Does it make it – I mean, do we have a situation where parity is almost impossible? I mean, there's never been a lot, right? There's only been 12 teams that ever win a national title. So it's not as though we're in an era that's kind of any different than before. But are we just more aware that parity is hard to achieve now?
Well, no. I feel like every program can have an All-American, and most can achieve a national champion. You know, maybe not. Maybe most haven't, but I feel like there's potential there to have an individual reach the pinnacle.
I think so too. I mean, the level of coaching, right? It's not like. It's not like if you're at – I feel like almost every Division I program has a really good staff, and they know what they're doing. I mean, there's – you can point out – I mean, we could say the worst coaches in Division I, but the vast majority of them are really good. So there can be national champs from anywhere. But that being said, can they keep up with the Joneses as far as team race?
No.
You know, it's really tough when, you know – Penn State wins a title, and everybody gravitates there. Zeke Jones goes to Arizona State. They get a ton of recruits. Ohio State, you know, all the top talent is gravitating towards a handful of schools, and it makes it tough, you know, for a lot of programs to compete on that level. Speaking of, and you know, there's a difference in competing. duels versus tournaments, and you know, that's a thing too, right? Is that if you have an All-American, you're at Bloomsburg, Clarion, or Campbell, or something, you have an All-American, it's special, and you can that gets highly rewarded, right? That gets highly celebrated. But that push for duels, I mean, they're not gonna ever hang with the big boys, and in a duel format, they just can't match up, right? They're not going to match up 10 for 10.
I feel like duels are where you see more upsets. I mean, I don't know. One guy's out, one upset, and things change. A 7-3 match turns into a 5-5, and the winner, it's by bonus. I don't know. What?
I mean,
NC State beat Iowa in a duel. That wouldn't and didn't happen in a tournament. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Duels are you're more likely to have an upset in a duel than in a tournament. Especially a bigger tournament. That's just the reality.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, your point was the opposite last time.
I don't know. You know, Minnesota can beat Penn State in a duel in certain years and get smoked at NCAAs.
Right.
Right. But I keep going to Campbell, right? I could go to Clarion with, you know, with the year Bexod did it, and Harvard the year Jansen wins a title, right? But they're not beating Oklahoma State in a duel. I mean, right. It's never going
to
happen.
I mean, Virginia Tech was a Joey Dance – lost to Jordan Conaway, went away from beating Penn State the year they won. Wait, was that the year they won? Or was that the year they punted?
I don't know. That was Bo Nichols' first year, whenever that was.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that was the Ohio State one.
I think it was the punt year. All right, so that's not as cool.
Okay. Anywho, so speaking of, National Duels is canceled.
Right. That's what you were kind of getting at.
Which, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, not that National Duels is canceled. National Duels, in the time of year it falls, does not make sense. People don't want to commit to it. It doesn't make sense in the landscape of the schedule. Okay? So, the coaches aren't on board with it. You're not going to get them to do it. I mean, I said this 5 years ago. It just doesn't make sense. You cannot have a meaningful event a week or two before conferences. Not going to happen. I mean, doesn't make sense, especially when, and I guess this is their point, especially when the NCAAs is how everybody pays their bills. The NCAAs is what everybody judges you off of. The NCAAs is what the administration is judging you off of. Now, that's probably their point in that, well, we have to make the national duels matter, because if it matters to the athletic department, then you'll be judged
on
that.
You just have to make it matter to the coaches. The coaches are the ones that are, you know.
Well, the coaches spoke. The coaches are saying the NCAA tournament matters, not duels. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Even the biggest advocates of national duels.
Even the biggest advocates of it. And I'm not a national duels hater. I'm a national duels
realist.
I'm a national duels time hater.
A timer.
It doesn't work at that time. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you need a split season. I mean, they just don't. I don't know. Too much work, I guess, to figure that out.
Yeah. So no national duels at least next year, but we'll see what happens in the coming, what the new iteration of national duels will be. I'm sure they'll have some sort of solution. I thought what they had was close, honestly.
I
like the idea.
It's so
you know what,
funny
though,
too.
It's like they don't want to have these matches, but they all are going to wrestle someone that weekend anyways. I remember Ohio State's like, we would have a duel this time regardless. It's just a matter of who is it going to be against. It could be against Cornell. And maybe if you're saying, well, the competition is too tough, okay. But I don't think – if Penn State was wrestling Lock Haven and Suriano snaps his ankle, which is just as likely, it's not like – it wasn't Nick Piccinini's skill that broke his ankle. It was a freak thing that happened in a wrestling match. There wasn't even any action going on. It was just a weird plant. So it's like, I don't think National Duels is not breaking ankles and hurting people. There's going to be wrestling going on then. I thought it made sense because what you had was an additional storyline threaded throughout the season. I like the way they did it. It's just the coaches... You know, there's, you know, Iowa won't wrestle Virginia Tech, okay? And then another team doesn't want to wrestle another team. Another team doesn't want to travel this far.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's...
So you make a really good point in that if they're going to have a duel anyway on that date, then they're not complaining about... complaining about the grind and having a match
and making
two
wait.
Weeks before conferences and making wait. What they're complaining about is they don't want to be told where they have to go.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Who knows what – I think each program has different reasons for what they want to do and why they want to do it. But that's the thing. They all have their own reasons, and they're not being – they basically have to be dictated to, because as long as they have a voice and a say – and I'm not saying coaches shouldn't have a voice and a say, but as long as
– Right. Remember 2 years ago? It was like a fiasco. We were on the phones for like a week. Me and Chris were on the phones for like a week trying to sort it out. I mean, and what it came down to was this coach said he ain't going here, and this coach said he ain't going there, and then saying, no, I never said that. I mean, that's what happened. This school didn't want to go to this school, and that school didn't want to go to that school. And that situation's never going to be tenable.
Yeah, that can't be – this can't be in the coach's hands, right? It's got to be
– Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, what is –
And
Mike Moyer going to say, you have got to go. You have got to go to this school. Mike Moyer's going to say that. And one of the coaches is going to say, no, I don't.
Right.
I mean, there's no power there.
Right. And I think ultimately that's why they're trying to make this a part of the NCAA season. Then, okay, you can't skip it now because it's a part of the NCAA tournament technically, which that is, I don't know. I don't know if anyone in this room is for that.
Why the coaches, they used to do the national duels when it was in one building and 8 or 12 or 16 teams, they participated then.
And that was not all.
That was
of them.
A grind.
Yeah, but first of all, that was in January, yeah. I want to say. Second of all,
oh, was it earlier?
It was earlier and it wasn't every team.
No.
Huh?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a lot like...
So what? It really lacked meaning because not everybody was there.
I mean, it was often Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota was there. Oklahoma State, I think, was hit or miss. They were there some, not always.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong on the Minnesota. You
need all the top teams to be there.
No, at the time, those were the best teams, except for I think Ohio State might not have been there.
I just remember a couple of times. It's like, what does it mean? You know. There's a player in the national
That's
title.
Why it means more at the end of the year than it does in the, when it's just a tournament. It's just like winning Midlands. It's just like
– Right.
But yeah. It's like there's a season.
Well, that's why I say split season.
Yeah.
You can't create a field of teams that should be in the national title, dual national title picture hunt without having duels first, right? So the current way this goofy – wrestling season is set up is that you can't choose a national duels field until your duel season is done. And we have this helter skelter system where it's duel tournament, 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 duel, duel, and then the glut of duels at the end. Just make all the duels first.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
I've never understood the combined thing that they want where if you win national duels or whatever it's called, you get 50 points, 60 points, 40 points for NCAAs. Like, it can only be one or the other.
Bradke's not having it.
No, it's trash.
Yeah. It has to be one or the other. Either go with what we've had, which is we have a national tournament, and that decides both the individual champs and the team champs, or you have – I don't like having a team tournament champ and a dual tournament – like a dual team champ. I think it should – if you're going to split it, you also have to split the national championship, and that NCAA tournament becomes just about individuals – and duels becomes just about the team champ.
Yeah.
Now, that's my personal opinion. I know a lot of people disagree with that.
So, yeah, that's your regularly scheduled national duels. We'll do it. We'll talk about that at least three more times in the next calendar year.
Really, we'll fight for the split season once more.
Split season. I'll mention split season in three more episodes. Nobody will ever do anything about it. Let's talk about the greatest 165ers of all time.
Ooh.
Except not of all time.
I forgot.
In the last 10 years.
I forgot that we were even going to get to do this today.
Are you excited about it?
Yes!
You very obviously are.
I'm super excited. Super duper excited. All right, last 10. Here we go. Vincenzo Joseph, Alex Daringer. I do know how to say it. I said it right the first time. David Taylor, Kyle Dake, David Taylor, Jordan Burroughs, Andrew Howe, Jared King.
Loved them.
Mark Perry, the 12th seed. Jared King. Maybe. Maybe even lower still. Okay.
Who'd King beat?
In the finals?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Okay. Who do we pick at 57?
Well,
did we split?
Christian, why don't you go ahead and tell me what you said before
the
show?
Well, first of all, I'll recap for Willie. Willie, the last show, Willie said Kyle Dake next topic. 5 minutes later, he's like, I got Burroughs. So it was me and you were Burroughs. Sion was Burroughs, and Kyle was
who cares
Kyle
what Sion
Dake.
Says.
Yeah, I
know. Nomad was too. Nomad was Dake.
So it was wow. Oh, that's right. We went three on the couch.
what'd you two knuckleheads have?
Dake.
Both of you?
Yeah, Dake.
Yes.
So I'm a little kind of. So Ben Askren texts me. He's like, "Hey man, you forgot Michael Chandler." Pushed Burroughs hard twice, and he's right.
Oh, congrats for pushing people hard.
That did happen. I mean, my point, that does contradict somewhat of what I said, that I thought Burroughs was just as dominant or around as dominant as juniors he was. He wasn't quite as dominant, but he was still basically separated from the field. His NCAA tournament was dominant, and so what? I took
so what do you day. So what do you got here?
Well, first, I'm going to eliminate some immediately, and you can yell at me for eliminating Vincenzo Joseph.
I didn't. That's way different than the Jason Nolf situation. It is.
I'm eliminating Chenzo.
The key subjects in play here.
I'm eliminating Chenzo and Taylor right away, because you can't say Taylor.
No.
You can't say Taylor, period. It's against the rules.
I feel like they're going to say Taylor.
I'm eliminating Howe, Jared King. And maybe I'll leave the others on. I'll let Perry on there. I'll leave Ringer on there. Ringer's the one. He's not going to get any love here, probably. But the guy didn't lose at 165 ever.
You're gonna fight me on. You fought me on Zane because of the field. Ringer didn't have great field.
I'm not picking Ringer.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's why I'm not. I mean, that's among the reasons I'm not picking.
You said, well, I mean, you said he's not gonna get love. That's why. That's why he shouldn't get love.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Didn't you take Zane? I mean, you're saying field doesn't matter. Or I don't know. You're saying field matters. You take Zane, acknowledging.
I'm saying that's why he won't get love.
Okay.
The same reason. I was the only one with Zane, right?
No. Some. No. Nomad took him as well.
Nomad don't remember. He doesn't even trust refrigerators.
Okay.
I'm saying, Dake, Burrows, Perry. I whittled down to those three.
I don't. Perry lost at Big Tens.
That year?
Yeah.
To who?
Tannenbaum. He might have had another. I don't think that was the Chris Brown year. Do you remember when he was losing to Chris Brown, lost his mind?
Old Dominion.
It was Mark Perry's MMA debut. Actually, his only MMA. Do you remember that match?
Faintly. I just remember he was in trouble.
This was crazy. It was a crazy match. They, like, got in a fight, basically.
Was that the Chris Brown did he AA that year?
No, I don't think he did that year.
He AA'd once,
yeah,
I think.
For yeah. Sure.
You and Jason Bryant probably are all over that stat.
Not really. I don't remember what year it was.
Old Dominion.
Not a big OG guy.
So okay.
Except for Steve Martin.
So you're throwing out Perry?
Yeah, I'm throwing out Perry. Perry is right now yeah. No.
And so you got it down to Burrows and Dake?
Yeah, I'll eliminate.
I feel like you're going to have some. You're going to outsmart yourself. You have some tricky Jedi wisdom here.
No, I don't have anything of that nature. I'm taking Burrows.
I'm taking Dake. If you were going to pick Burrows, he's more dominant at 157.
He actually wasn't.
He was.
That's inaccurate.
I thought this.
That was the
I thought 157 was the year that he had the 33 and
the
36.
It was 65.
Okay, I take it back. I'm still taking Kyle Dake.
Why would you take Kyle Dake?
We went over this the last episode. I think he's better at folk style wrestling than Jordan Burrows.
Yeah, I mean I'm taking Burrows now because Burrows was more dominant at 65 than he was at 57. Dake was more dominant at 57.
They both
than he
won
was
the Hodge that year, right? Mm-hmm. So they were both dominant. Let's just leave it at that.
For sure.
Well, Burrows was more dominant.
Burrows was more dominant.
He only had three decisions that whole time. Dake had a decision against one Pat Graham. Are you familiar with his
Patrick
work?
Graham.
Yeah. Do you know Pat Graham?
American.
I don't care.
Right?
You don't care?
No, because we're picking the best versions of themselves wrestling. And I'm sure Kyle Dake the wrestler, Pat Graham, was not the best version. That would have wrestled Jordan
I think that's
Ernest
fair.
Burrows.
Oh, is that Bubby Graham?
Bubby Graham.
Oh, Bubby. Okay, I know him as Bubby.
Bubby Brister, quarterback of the Steelers. You guys old enough to remember him?
All right, so.
His name wasn't Pat.
I'm taking Burrows.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
He transferred to Oklahoma. Graham, he was really good, actually. That's not a bad decision. Bubby Graham. I retract the Bubby Graham. He didn't place that year, I don't think. He was excellent.
Bubby Graham.
Apologies to Bub.
Or Pat.
But so I'm taking Burrows. I mean, first of all, even though Dake has the better wins, having beaten David Taylor, a two-time Hodge Award winner, twice.
Taylor's the only one with two on that list.
Right. So that's a pretty big check mark for Kyle Dake. But I just think he doesn't get ridden. That's what I think. I could be wrong. I don't think he gets turned. I don't think he goes under. Why would you go under Kyle Dake?
The problem is
just
really
wrestle him on my feet.
Is that you can try to differentiate. Peanut Gallery can try to differentiate and say, well, one is folk style and one is freestyle, and Kyle Dake is great on the mat. And
we're not saying wrestling's wrestling. Don't say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
he just told me I was trying to differentiate.
You are trying to differentiate. That's your only point.
I know, but usually when people say that, they're like, wrestling's wrestling.
That's not what we're saying. Listen, because
there's no reason to believe. There's no reason to believe that.
Well, this is a fictional match. It's never going to happen, so I can believe that.
He has a point there.
I can believe whatever I want to believe. This is fantasy.
Yes. He can believe that Ringer is the best guy. Right.
You also believe in the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't say that. I said Loch Ness Monster's not real.
Okay, Mothman.
Well, yeah, Mothman's real. So
for what it's worth, I understand not picking Taylor. He wrestled the 2 years he went undefeated, the 2012 and 2014. He wrestled 66 matches, and 62 of them were bonus.
So, all right, now here's the thing.
That's impressive.
If I'm a coach, and I can pick one of those guys, I'll take DT.
I'll take DT all day.
He's gonna tech and pin up to the finals.
Right.
You could beat him in the finals. He still outscored you.
He outscored Dake.
He outscored Dake the year Dake won.
Yeah.
So
if you're a college coach and you have those 12 years of ability, 12 years of results, you got 4 years of Burroughs results, 4 years of Dake results, and 4 years of Taylor's results. If you're a coach, who you take? Taylor.
Yeah.
You take Taylor all day.
Unquestionably.
It's not a question.
Well.
He crushed.
It's a question.
He crushed everyone.
He scored almost 100 career points in NCAAs.
Right. That's on the one hand. But that you're basically making it all about that's a total team play.
Did anybody ever do that? Did anybody ever say most team points earned at NCAAs all time?
Well, we're pretty sure it's Cale, but as the rule book from back then doesn't exist. Well, I guess we could say look at his results. Also, there was uneven brackets.
Let's get Spey on that. Let's get Spey on most team points back till we can find team points.
I'm pretty sure it's why don't we use today's scoring though? Because
yeah, we can. That's fine.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't use the different scoring.
I'm pretty sure Cale's at 102 or 103.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure Cale's at like 102 or 103 all time.
What's Zane gonna be at? His
seriously.
His freshman year hurts him. He was fifth.
What about Nolf though?
Nolf could be very high.
Nolf.
I mean Nolf's like 95% of Zane. Right. Which sounds dismissive, but what I'm saying
he's
is that's
95%
really,
of Zane,
except but he has a higher place in it.
His freshman year, remember he's a year behind.
Well, yeah, he does have, but if you look at he can be ahead of Zane in the end, but
thanks. We established that.
Zane might pin everyone next year and put it out of reach.
I don't think so. I even if he pinned everyone next year, he wouldn't put it out of reach. He basically did last year. I don't know.
Actually, taking the second to the fifth makes Nolf, I think, the favorite. Right?
Right.
That freshman year.
We'd have to look at how many points he scored. But
we got it right here.
I'm taking Burroughs. I think he takes down Kyle Dake. I think
I'm taking him too.
I think 2011 Jordan Burroughs was, one of the best versions we ever saw of him. From that march up to making the team, up to winning worlds, that was, there's a case that was as good as we saw him. And he kind of, maybe he maintained that arc. Maybe he got a lot better. But, man, he made some freestyle mistakes. But I think on his feet, takedown contests, I'm taking that guy. And so I didn't pick Kyle Dake once. So
Nolf scored 22 when he was a freshman. How many Rutherford scored when he was a freshman?
Oh, Zane scored 12. That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm
Silver.
Tallying him up.
So Nolf will crush
him. He beat
that.
Him by 10 points.
He's up 10. And there's no way Nolf's that far behind from last year. Zane scored 28 last year.
Zane made up 6.5. Zane beat Nolf by 6.5 points that year.
So now he's 4. Yeah. Anyways, is it time to go?
It's time to go.
We're Seacrest out. We'll be back next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, can you commit to Tuesday?
I'm verbally committed.
Well, that means you could be flipped.
Means I could be going to Illinois. All right, let's play it. We're ready to go. Hope you guys had a happy and safe 4th of July. Thank you so much for listening to 212 episodes of Flow Wrestling Radio Live.
Congrats, Nick Ramo. Thank you, Damian Logan.
Thank you to Nick and Damian, Coach Logan. We'll be back next Tuesday. Hope you guys are well. Keep it on Flow Wrestling. Fargo's coming up. We got a lot of Fargo content rolling out. Fast and furious. Thanks a lot. See you soon.